As children go back to school, let us remember that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Also, God calls every parent and grandparent to take an active role in training their children and grandchildren, not just in reading, writing, and arithmetic, but also in the fear of the Lord. This year, help your kids with their studies and encourage them to live boldly for God.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
For the past few weeks, we've been talking and discussing what role Christians should play and what our attitude should be when someone has sinned, and specifically what we're looking at is the sin of Fort Pierce City Council member. And this is allegedly that he sent pictures of himself without clothes on to a 12-year-old girl. And if this is true, this is tragic. It's tragic in a number of ways. It's tragic for the girl. It's tragic for him. It's tragic for his family. It's tragic for the city of Fort Pierce. Tragic for his church, because he did claim to be a Christian. It's tragic for the body of Christ. And so we're looking at Scripture and really looking at really just doing a summary of all the different points that really we need to take into account here. And there are a lot of points that we do need to think about when we think about this. We have been going over this for this is now our third week, so I'll just briefly review. We do have the other sermons up on our church YouTube channel, Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center, and we have links to that on our website, covenanttabernacle.com. But when we're looking here, we see that, first of all, your sins will find you out. There are a lot of people that think, hey, I can get away with this, I can do it, whether people are embezzling money, whether they're stealing from someone, whether they're committing adultery, committing fornication, committing homosexuality, these are all sins. And really, a lot of people think, well, I can get away with this, but really, your sins will find you out. This is a scriptural principle that comes from Numbers chapter 32, verse 23. Your sins will find you out. Even if you make it all the way through this earth without people finding out what you've done, every one of us is going to stand before a holy God that knows everything that we have done. And by the way, you're going to live the rest of your life knowing what you've done. But we're going to stand before a God that knows what we have done, and we're going to give an account for our lives, and only the sins that are covered by the blood of Jesus will be forgiven. Anything that we have not taken to the Lord in prayer, if we have not repented of our sins, if you have not repented of your sins, if you're holding that sin back, and you're, even if you're pretending that you didn't commit a sin, you need to repent of that sin and allow the blood of Jesus to cleanse you of that sin. We also see justice. God appoints civil magistrates, civil government, the government that we see, he appoints that. And really, you see in Scripture two primary purposes for the government. One is the defense of the nation through having an army when necessary and going out and fighting when necessary. And you also see criminal defense, criminal justice, and actually defending the weak and the needy. And anyone that's a Christian that is involved in law enforcement or in prosecution in such a case as this should actually follow the law and really seek justice for the victims, and should actually seek to punish the perpetrator to the fullest extent of the law within the context of the law. Those who are in the legislature should actually, rather than just making up laws on their own, should actually look at the Word of God and attempt to apply biblical principles to our laws and bring them in accordance with the law of God. We've talked about that multiple times, and certainly we really have not exhausted that subject at all. We also need to be accountable, and we need to hold one another accountable. And we see this in Matthew chapter 18. If someone sinned, the person that has been sinned against goes to that person and confronts them. Obviously, in some cases, you also bring in the law as well. But really what we see a lot of times happening in church is you see people, instead of talking to the person that sinned against you, we see people going to other people and talking to them, talking to everyone except the person that needs to repent of his sin or her sin. And so we need to actually have accountability. We need to hold one another accountable. We also need to realize that God's not just a God of justice and judgment and wrath. He's also a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. And as we've talked about in the first century church, really what happened, obviously there weren't cell phones back then, but if there were, this probably wouldn't have been against the law back then. You actually had slavery back then was legal. And temple prostitution, where the prostitutes were actually slaves, was legal. And people would go, the Christians, before they were Christians, they went to these temples and they probably participated in this prostitution. Not only was prostitution legal, also human sacrifice. People bringing their own sons and daughters, probably the children that were conceived through the prostitution that was happening in the temple. And other humans could be brought and actually sacrificed. This was legal. So you had this type of thing happening. When people come to Christ in a pagan culture, you're going to have, obviously, people that have done bad things, really bad things. God tells us to be merciful to those people and to seek to, if someone falls astray, if they fall into a sin, that we should actually seek to restore them in a spirit of gentleness. But we're also, the other principle that is found there here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, is that we should consider ourselves lest we also fall into sin. Every single one of us, when we see us Christians sin, we need to humble ourselves. We need to pray. We need to seek God. We need to make sure that we are in the faith. We need to make sure that we're doing what we need to do, that we're not allowing sin, a root of sin, to dwell in us that could bring forth actual physical action of sin. And you may say, well, I would never do what former Commissioner Taylor was accused of doing. And certainly maybe you wouldn't. Maybe your sin would be different. But is it still sin? Yes, it is still sin. And whether you're talking about sending pictures of yourself to a teenage girl or to a teenage boy or maybe to an adult that you're not married to, whether you're talking about fornication, whether you're talking about adultery, whether you're talking about homosexuality, these are all sins. Maybe you're tempted in another way, but however you are tempted, that is sin, and you need to examine yourself, consider yourself, lest you also fall into sin. And if you say, hey, I would never fall into that type of sin, that's really a dangerous place, because the Bible says that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. We need to make sure that we don't think that we're above sin, and that we actually humble ourselves and pray and seek his face. Make sure that we are in the faith. We talked about how people fall into temptation. People don't fall into temptation because God tempts us. Certainly the devil tempts us, but we also have evil desires inside of us. And the Bible even talks about the flesh, and that is a sinful nature. When we have a thought that is tempting us to think about sin, rather than meditating upon that, we need to meditate upon the Word of God. How did Jesus, when Jesus was tempted, how did he resist temptation? He actually quoted the Word of God. And we need to be reading the Word of God. We need to be abiding in his Word. We need to be dwelling in it. We need to be memorizing it. We need to be taking heed to it. And this is how a young man can cleanse his way. Psalm 119, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Jesus told those Jews that believed in him in John chapter 8, 31 and 32. If you abide in my word, you will be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We need to be memorizing scripture, meditating upon it, thinking about it, pondering it. We talked about how really we should actually, and Proverbs talks a lot about the father and the mother training the son. And certainly for a daughter, the same principle would hold true. And so you need fathers and mothers to be involved in training their children. The Bible also talks about grandparents being involved in training their grandchildren in the way that is right, and really teaching them discretion to preserve them and to keep them from the evil man and from those who would actually go and team up to beat someone up or to steal from someone so that they could have monetary gain, and also to protect from the evil woman. And what you need to realize here, again, if this is a girl that we're talking about, you know, maybe you're talking about a evil man. But you know what? There are some women out there that are inclined to prey upon young girls. And there are men that are inclined to prey upon young men. And so the parents need to be training their children in discretion and also have oversight of those children, especially with any type of technology, whether it's a cell phone or a computer, maybe even monitoring those and definitely making sure that you're monitoring those, but also not even giving a cell phone and really just saying, hey, you know, listen, you don't need one of these right now. Just waiting for that as long as you can. And also for each and every one of us, we need to actually practice discretion so that discretion can keep us from sin. We also went over last week that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Several sins are mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. You see fornication, that's a broad range of sexual immorality, idolatry, adultery, which is someone that's not married having sex with someone that is married, or two married people that aren't married to each other having sex, or someone that's engaging, maybe someone that's single, engaging with someone that is married. This is sin. You also have homosexuality. You have sodomy. This is sin. Stealing. You have covetousness. You have drunkenness. You have revilers and extortioners. These will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is really bad news for those who have sinned. But the good news, it doesn't end there, because the Bible says, and such were some of you, but you were you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So we see that really what you see here is that there's whatever you have done in the past, God can forgive. And God can not only forgive you, there are people that believe, well, you know, I'm going to be this way all the rest of my life. And there's even an entire movement that says, well, this is the way I was created. This is the way I was born. And I need to be this way. No, we are all created as sinners and in really living in at enmity with God. But God loves us and has sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. And really, God wants to not only forgive you of your sins, he wants to set you free from your sin so that you can actually live a life free from that. You don't have to be a slave of sin the rest of your life. You can be set free from sin. Hebrews chapter 13 talks about marriage being honorable among all. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. So there's nothing wrong with a husband loving his wife and being intimate with her. There's nothing wrong with a wife loving her husband and being intimate with him. This is the way God designed, and really God created us as where we take pleasure. in intimacy, but sexual intimacy. But really, that's reserved for between one man and one woman. And the Bible says in the Old Testament, Jesus confirmed this in the New Testament, till death do them part. This is what should happen. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Listen, if you want to commit fornication, if you want to commit adultery, know that you are going to be under the judgment of God. You will pay a price for that sin. You're going to pay a price for that. And, you know, certainly some of that price may be reputation. Some of that price with certain actions may even be jail time or arrest, depending on what actually is happening, what has happened. Certainly with many intimate acts, you're not going to have jail time, but there is still a price, and God is the judge, and God will judge those who commit these sins. Now, there's a principle in the Bible about really our responsibility to one another, because we've talked about how there are some who would prey upon young boys or young girls or older men or older women, men and women that are actually men and women that are adults. The Bible tells us not to defraud one another. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, we read, "Finally then, my brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you have received from us, how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandment we gave to you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification." Sanctification is being set free from your sin. So this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter. Because God, the Lord, is the avenger of all such, as we have forewarned you and testify. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. So you see here that God wants us to possess ourselves with sanctification and with honor. He doesn't want us to be living with passion of lust like the Gentiles. And again, realize this, in the first century church, there was really, you had a lot of immorality, sexual immorality happening. And really, there were even phrases, the Corinthian church, you read in the Corinthian church, Paul deals with sexual sin quite a bit in Corinthians. And there was actually a term called to Corinthianize, and that was actually involved in engaging in sexual morality with someone else. So just realize that there was a lot of sin that was going on, and the people that had come to Christ had come out of this culture, and the apostles warning them not to go back in that culture, not to commit those same sins, and also not to defraud one another. This is an important principle. We have a responsibility to one another. I have a responsibility to you, and you have a responsibility to me. We each have a responsibility to those we come in contact with, to not defraud one another, to not take advantage of one another, to live our lives in a way that is holy and true. You know, I remember when I was going to school, you know, you have boys and girls, and I went to school quite a while ago, and certainly things are different now than they were back then. But when I went to school, there was definitely a lot of interest, that the guys were very interested in the girls, and the girls were interested in the guys. But really, there wasn't a lot of widespread fornication that was going on. But one day, I remember one of the prettiest girls in school got a hold of these little bottles of alcohol and was drinking them at the bus stop and maybe even on the bus. And she was drunk in school. And she was actually begging one of the boys to actually be physically intimate with her. And I don't think he was a Christian, but still he held to this principle of not defrauding her. He actually really, you know, many people would have actually engaged in that activity. Certainly under ordinary circumstances, if the girl were in her right mind, he might have done so. And certainly there were others, many other boys in the school that would have gladly participated with this girl. But he actually did not defraud her, and he protected her. And I remember the next day him telling her in class what she was saying and how she was acting. And she had no recollection of it at all and could not believe that she was actually proposing what she was proposing. But even as someone that really wasn't a Christian, I don't believe, again, maybe he was, but there was no indication that he was. And certainly I don't think he lived his life in a way that would make you think that he was a Christian, but he still practiced this principle of not defrauding one another. And we actually have a responsibility to one another to not defraud one another. And this is especially true, by the way, for men. Men, if you look in the Bible, you look at the picture of marriage. Marriage is supposed to be a picture of Jesus Christ and the church. The husband is supposed to picture Jesus Christ, not only to his wife, but also to every other woman that he meets prior to marriage and even in marriage, and making sure that he is not defrauding her. Certainly Jesus would not defraud a woman. He would not engage in fornication. He would not engage in adultery. He would not engage in other types of action, and we should not either. We have, especially men, have even a higher level of responsibility because we are called to picture Jesus Christ to the world. Every one of us really is called to picture Jesus Christ, but especially this symbol of the husband loving his wife as Christ loves the church. You can read about that in Ephesians chapter 5. We also see two principles that really are important, especially in today's society. And one is that women should dress modestly. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, in like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing. And really there are some that really take this really too far, maybe, and say that women can't wear makeup, they can't wear jewelry, they need to wear their hair up and this, that, and the other. But really, certainly, all you have to do is walk around and you can see that there are many women that are not being modest. And actually, it's even a struggle and even a challenge for women who want to be modest, because much of the clothing that is out there is not designed for modesty. And my wife actually has to modify some of the clothes that she wears to make it more modest. Certainly, if she's alone with me, she can be immodest. And that's right. And that's something that should happen between a husband and a wife. But with others, she needs to be modest. And certainly, women have a responsibility to be modest. And sometimes I think that maybe some women don't realize how men are geared and how the minds of men work. God has designed us to really take pleasure in the way a woman looks and in her beauty. But there are certain parts that should be reserved and certain parts that should be hidden and certain parts that should be kept for a woman's husband. The other side of this is that we have a responsibility, men have a responsibility, to not look lustfully upon a woman, even if she is dressed immodestly. We have a responsibility to do this. We see in Job chapter 31, verse 1, Job said this, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? We need to make a covenant. Men, I challenge you, make a covenant with your eyes not to look lustfully upon a young woman. If you are tempted with the same sex, that is a sin. And certainly it's not necessarily a sin to be tempted, but to meditate upon that temptation, that's where the sin comes in. We need to apply that the same way, to not look upon anyone that we would be lustful after or desirous of, and look at them with lust, that we need to actually discipline ourselves to look the other way, to have pure thoughts, to allow God to do a work in our lives. And this is something that really, you know, we've just really scratched the surface on these issues and these topics, and there's certainly much more that we can go over and could go over, and even every single one of these principles, we could actually preach multiple sermons on these without exhausting these. But hopefully this has given you a little bit of an overview of how Christians should react and how we should live our lives. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, hasten the day when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. When the earth rejoices for the Lord and the multitudes of the isles are glad. When the Lord has established justice in the earth and the coastlands wait for His law. When the fullness of the Gentiles comes and you call your people Israel back into your kingdom, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
As children go back to school, let us remember that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Also, God calls every parent and grandparent to take an active role in training their children and grandchildren, not just in reading, writing, and arithmetic, but also in the fear of the Lord. This year, help your kids with their studies and encourage them to live boldly for God.
I'm Minister Ezekiel Jones of Lively Stones Ministry. Join us every Saturday at 7:30 a.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Dad up, fathers. This is Seamus Gordon from the Father-Child Connection. We are excited about a new program starting on August 1st, 2025, called the Dad Up Radio Show. We will be talking to and with fathers and father figures about life and being a dad. 8:30 a.m. and p.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Have you read the book of Zephaniah recently? What about Ecclesiastes or Titus? Well, if these books are a little unfamiliar to you, maybe it's because you've never read or studied the entire Bible. Not many Christians have. But you can go through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee and do it every 5 years. We invite you to join with us in an entertaining and profitable time of studying God's Word right here on this station every weekday. Oh.
Join Dr. McGee at 9 a.m. and p.m. right here on the Good News Station WCNO.